I'm going to continue with this, the sound of heaven, and just sort of finish off the section on this, which is sort of more of a little bit of a practical thing of what this is going to actually bring. So 40 years ago, on August the 8th, 1975, a prophet released a sound out of heaven. And it was a sound that was calling for a billion soul harvest. And I think that was a really, really significant point in our history, because most people misinterpreted that prophecy and started to try and get a harvest, mostly from young people, and put a lot of effort into seeing a harvest come out of the youth, and, you know, poured a whole lot of money into the youth system and things, when God was actually saying, now there's a billionfold harvest coming, but you need to be ready. So what it really was a call to raise up the Joshua generation, to raise up people who would be ready for the harvest, who would receive the harvest and equip the harvest. And that really, I think most people miss that. So for those who are going to be a Joshua generation, you have to spy out the land. There will be supernatural inheritance beyond the veil. And that person who brought that prophecy was going into heaven all the time, but wasn't able to teach and tell other people how to get there. And I think the call was just saying, let's get ready. And 40 years later, we're not ready. And I think God is now issuing that call to say, okay, all you lot who didn't listen and didn't follow, you need to enter in and be ready now. So we're in a place where, over that 40 years, we've seen an increasing amount of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we'd call them sort of moves of the Spirit, revivals, you know, dreams, visions, professed prophecy, ecstatic encounters. Well, why? Why have we seen an increase? Because God is wanting us to wake up. Yeah, as a Bible verse, this is, wake up, oh, wake up, you sleeper. And people have been sleeping rather than preparing. And so God has been continually trying to engage the church to say, cross over, come into this. Don't get stuck where you are. And my favorite movie is The Matrix, and a line in it says, wake up, Neo, the Matrix has you. And we have been living in an illusion. I don't believe that we're living in the reality of what God wants. And I think another phrase in that film says, the world has been pulled over your eyes. And I think a religious veil has been pulled over the eyes of the church to stop the church seeing the reality of what God has been calling us to. So, you know, arise, shine. God wants people to be like stars, not superstars, but stars in the sky, those that will start to bring the revelation in the heavenly realms of what God's governmental authority is all about. In 2012, I prophesied a three-year period for our church, and I think it was coinciding with other things for the general church, of preparation was going to begin. Now, for me, I was challenged by that. What does that mean? How do we prepare? What do we prepare for? And, you know, God sort of put on my heart, gave me two verses from Romans 12, 1 and 2, and I ended up doing a 20-part series called Transformation about how we prepare for engaging heaven, how we prepare for what God's doing. You know, and if you've not seen that one, I'd encourage one. I don't plug things very often, but that's a really good teaching session. We've got a whole resource around it on the website now, which is all transcribed, and the teaching series are transcribed, but it is good preparation to help you deal with what it is to be a living sacrifice and what it is to engage into the different realms of heaven and be ready for it. That 40-year generational is ending in the 8th of August, and I think it's a significant time, because I believe God is going to leave the Moses generation in the wilderness and embrace those who crossed over. Now, he's never going to stop calling people out of the wilderness, because he's a loving, gracious God who longs for his people to come to him. So he's not going to say, you can't come, but I believe he's going to leave the institutions that have been set up there. So we're going to begin a new order, and I believe it's the Joshua generation living according to the order of Melchizedek. And I'll talk about that order the next time. And this year is the lion, the year of the lion for us. And I believe it's about kingly order, about government, establishing government around the earth. In 2013, before I was engaging with people around, I was sort of somewhat resisting that because I just didn't think how I could do it. You know, it's like, you know, I was really busy doing a lot of things, and it's like God was wanting me to reach out. You know, and I resisted reaching out. And one day he took me into the solar system and showed me the Earth as a, and I've got to say soccer ball, because if I say football, you'll think the Earth is oval. So I saw this soccer ball, and it's like, and I felt drawn to it. And literally, it wasn't spinning, and I could see just a time zone there, and I took it into my heart. And I just knew I needed to take it in. You know, it's difficult to eat the world, but you can take it on the inside of you. And it changed my whole heart between reaching out and engaging. And then that's exactly what I did with Peter. I said, well, what do? I don't know anybody. And I knew 14 people who were in this forum who used to ask me all these crazy questions, you know, and I'd sort of type them all out and answer back. But I didn't know them. We just sort of interacting by message. And so I felt God say, just reach out to the people you know. So I reached out and just said, sort of somewhat cryptically, but it was almost like, you know, God is sort of wanting me to be proactive, and he's raising up a Joshua generation, and he's calling people, and I'd really like to relate to anyone who's hearing that call. And, you know, a few people responded. And we just hung out for a while. You know, and those weren't recorded. I mean, I didn't get the bit about recording things until later. And then a bit later on, I had another encounter on New Year's Eve 2013, where I saw, again, I was taking it, and I saw the world spinning this time, and then it started to slow down. And then I saw all these lights and connections being made over the Earth. And then it started spinning the other way. Now, that would be interesting if that happens physically. But I think it's a spiritual thing that something is coming to an end, and something is going to be so different, it's going to be completely in the other direction. And those lights were government. They were benches of three, places of government being raised up. And so that, again, as I took that into my spirit, it just gave me a desire to help people establish blueprints and places of authority and cities of refuge all around. And then that's opened up a whole different realm and caused me to, you know, eventually I again sort of got there in terms of doing the manual online and helping people to do these things from first principle. Because it's okay, all of us having encounters and having experiences in heaven and having visions, but when someone says to you, well, how do you do that? You have to be able to help them. And I found that many people were having experiences which were involuntary. They had them when they were in worship, or they had them sometimes, but they couldn't just step in. They didn't know how to do it every day. So I really felt, you know, it's a real need to reach out to people and just help them with the basics. And if we're going to have a Joshua generation, they're going to have to be able to equip. Even if they can do it themselves now, when someone asks, how do you do it? I wanted to do that. So that really is what enabled me to reach out and look to engage with people and give them a sort of systematic approach, which I'm sort of ongoingly developing. We're on module 3 at the minute. So I would have been on module 4 by now, but I had to come over here. So Arthur Burke. I mean, I love Arthur Burke. I love people who do empirical evidence. You know, they measure people's brains and see the difference when they get delivered. I think that's awesome. You know? But he prophesied that it was the end of the ruler, which is the fivefold thing, and the beginning of the priest, those who would go into the intimacy of heaven. You know, 2012, I think, marks the beginning of the end of that old order. And I think it marks a call from heaven. I think that's when this deeper call started to come to many people. 2012, Mark Verkler, again, is another guy. I like his approach. You know, How to Hear the Voice of God, and it's a great book. And he sent me a manuscript of a book called When Heaven Touches Earth. And I read this book and thought, wow, this is really good. This is excellent. This is basically what it was saying, all spiritual experiences of going to heaven, engaging angels, are all normal, and they should be normal. And he asked for 95 leaders to endorse this book and sign it so that we could be posting it on the internet, rather like Martin Luther did with the 95 theses that he put on the Wittenberg door. And he said, this is going to be a prophetic act. So I read the book, sent it back to him, said, yeah, I'm really happy to sign that and endorse it. And then he sent me back the completed copy with the 95 leaders who said yes to it. And there's some really good leaders on that. Some people you probably wouldn't know and some people you would know. But it's a call for the reformation of the church. Right? The church was reformed in those days, bringing back justification by faith and opened up the whole realm of coming into experience of God by personal encounter. And this is that. 2012 was the start of the call for the reformation of the church. So there was a judgment on the religious institution of men. And judgment just means God saying, this is not me, and I'm not going to be here. It's not anything to do with punishment. You know, whenever I say judgment, don't think discipline, punishment. Judgment is a verdict. When a judge makes a judgment, he says, guilty, not guilty. It's nothing to do with punishment. So God is basically making a judgment and saying, I'm looking at what I see on the earth, and I'm actually saying, this looks like me, this doesn't, and I'm not going to be hanging around and think something that doesn't look like me. So there's a call for the true ecclesia of God to arise out of the rubble of what's left after all those things start to crumble. And when God leaves, because he left a old covenant system before, and Jesus said, I leave the temple desolate. He did try a couple of times to turn the money changers' tables over and change the way they were doing it, because they turned the house of God into a den of thieves. And he was challenged by that, because this should be a house of prayer. And they didn't respond. And he told them what would happen if they didn't fill a house that was cleansed. It would get filled with things which weren't too pleasant. So he left. And he basically said, I'm taking the kingdom away from this people and I'm going to give it to a people who will produce its fruit. You can read all that in sort of Matthew 21 to 24. And Jesus is going to do the same again. He's going to leave that which is old and institutional and begin to leave. Now, I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the institution that's been set up. So Ian Clayton stated at the end of 2012 was the end of the old apostolic or the fivefold ministry order. And I think as a form of government, it is ended. Doesn't mean the structures aren't still there. We were talking about this over lunch. And it's like the structures are still there, still operating. Just means God's authority isn't in it anymore. You know, that was, he said, December the 20th, 2012. Now, I relate to 2012 as being a significant year that God started to say, something new's starting. You know, that reformation of the church into the ecclesia of God. People gathered around heavenly blueprints. And God has been doing that, to gather people around that who are going to start to take their position of government and then begin to change things on earth. And this is how this works. While I was flying over here last time, God gave me this picture in a plane as I was flying over. Now this time I actually watched 5 movies on the way over. Because I sort of got what I was going to get before I came. So I was like, I can just relax. You know? 4 sci-fi movies and another one. So I had a really great time. One of them was called Lucy. All about the expansion of what happens when our full capacity of our mind gets released back to us. You know, having the capacity that Adam had before the fall. It's an awesome film. You know? So in heaven, you have benches of 3. The Father, Son, and Spirit. He's on the throne. He's on the top of the mountain of God, Mount Zion. He's on the throne. And when you have a royal priesthood and a priestly and kingly function coming together, it forms an arc of agreement. And an arc of agreement releases a blueprint. So you have heavenly blueprints for everything. Your life, my life, ecclesia, cities, states, nations, the whole planet and the whole universe has blueprints, God's intentions for them. So when you get this ark, you literally get a mountain forming, a government formed over it, and a light shining on it. So what happens when you shine a light and put something in the way of the light? You get a shadow. So there's a shadow of a blueprint on the earth, of a heavenly blueprint, that then God wants to be filled. He wants that shadow to be outworked on the earth. But to do that, you need an agreement with heaven and earth, so you have an apostolic and prophetic of the order of Melchizedek agreeing. They form an ark, and then you start to get this. So you get a reflection of heaven's government, not a copy of it. So you have a Venture 3 on the earth, carrying a picture of that blueprint, so that blueprint can be at work. And that could be my life. When my life, body, soul, and spirit, comes in agreement and one spirit with Him, I can fulfill my destiny. I can outwork the blueprint that God has for me. If it's a church, an ecclesia, then it's gathered around a blueprint, people gathering around a vision. It has a Venture 3, which is the foundational government, as it is in heaven, on earth. And that Venture 3 begins to release people to fulfill their destiny. And if they intersect with that and their hearts are together, one heart and one mind about the blueprint, then people begin to fulfill their destiny within it. Now that is God's way of bringing government. And that's what God is looking for everywhere. People who will respond to a blueprint from heaven and begin to gather and fulfill it. That will change the earth because it's heaven and earth coming into agreement. Now what tends to happen and what has happened up to now is, yes, God has a blueprint in heaven, and people who are apostolic and who get access to those things in the spirit, they pick up a shadow. So they get vision, and they have a vision. Now, rather than having reflections heaven govern, what they do is they build a mountain on top of the vision, and then they go on top of the mountain. So effectively, they cover the vision, and anyone who's part of that vision has to look up to them. And they can go no further than who's on top of the mountain. So they've got no direct access to God, and they serve someone else's vision. Rather than serving God's vision and being released to fulfill their destiny, they're actually then squeezed into a mold and fit into a hole to fulfill someone else's vision. And that's called coverings. And whether it's you on your own mountain doing your own thing rather than God being on the throne of your life, or a pastor heading church and covering the church so everyone has to go through the pastor to hear what God's saying, or a prophet or an apostle, any covering to is old covenant. It's not new. So any system you happen to be in that's headed up by a pastor, a prophet, or an apostle, or any other name, and is over you, you need to seriously consider what you're under. Because you cannot get any further than what that person will allow you to. And there may be very good people. I'm not saying there aren't good apostles, prophets. I've got nothing against them. Because actually I've been in that role myself. But it isn't God's blueprint and pattern for what He's doing in these days. It's the old Moses, because they built those things in the wilderness. And God is going to call into the wilderness, because there was a voice crying out of the wilderness saying, prepare the way for the Lord. There's one now crying into the wilderness saying, prepare the way for the Lord. And actually what happens in Isaiah 40, the mountains are made low and the valleys are lifted up. And there are so many people in the valley of decision who are weighed down by what's over them, so they can't see the promised land. They can't see their future into God's purposes because they're weighed down under someone who's on top of them. Or a system or a structure or a government that's on top of them. Now, when the mountains start to be shaken and start to come low, and very interestingly, Mount Everest, which is our highest worldly mountain, has recently started to shift down because some valleys got lifted up. And when these mountains start to fall, and when that government is no longer authorized by God, people are going to start to lift up and see, hey, we've got a whole new promised land here. I've never seen this before, because I was never allowed to get high enough to actually see into that realm. So God is going to do this, and we're in a place where this is going to take place. And I think August the 8th is a 40-year anniversary. It's an end of an old and beginning of the new. We're going to start to see a lot of things crumble, and some of them are right now. Some of the masks are being revealed to be taken off the old order so people can really see who's a covering and not. And all those who said there were going to be a floor for people to rise up on actually are discovering that they're a ceiling. Because when it comes to it, they're not prepared to pass the bat to the next generation. So we're in a serious time right now, and you're going to start to be seeing a line drawn and God saying, I've made my judgment, which side of the line are you going to be on? You're going to enter into the new, or you're going to stay in the old? It's a challenging time. That prophet, Bob Jones, in 1975, gave a generation to respond. We've had a whole generation to respond to it. And during that time, the prophetic and apostolic movements were lifted up. But they failed to equip people to engage heaven. And I've been involved with them. You know, I was involved with the Kansas City prophets back in the 80s and all the sort of these major prophetic voices and different things. And, you know, I've seen the rise of apostolic movements and all that time in that 40 years. And what I've seen is a failure to equip people, but a preparing and creating of institutions. And God isn't pleased. And they were amazing stewards and miracle workers. I'm not saying that I honor them because they've helped me get where I am. And I do honor what they've done. I just really would desire that they continue moving forward and don't stay in the wilderness. You know, because they have failed to equip people. You know, they built Moses' ministries rather than equip a Joshua generation. And they became a mediatorial dependent people who are dependent on those people to hear God for them. You know, and God wants you to hear God for yourself. You know, and every one of you have an open heaven. And you can step in and hear God for yourself. You don't need anybody else. You know, my desire is to open doors for people to step through. You know, and that's why a lot of times now, you know, online, if you look at the early mentoring sessions, I used to give sort of interpretations of dreams, and I used to sort of help people understand some of the symbolism. You know, sometimes I would do some of those things. I would describe people's angels and say, help them see what they look like. I don't do it anymore because I don't want to be a mediator. You know, I don't want people having to come to me to hear their dreams. Every time now someone asks, I say, okay, well, let's go back to God. You know, let's see what God says. You know, God will tell you. You'll build your relationship with God by asking him to give you an interpretation of that which he's given you. Because why did Jesus teach in parables? He taught so that people would be hungry enough to go back to him and ask for the interpretation. But they're going back to him, to God. You know, and I don't want people... That's why I don't prophesy over a lot of people or pray over a lot of people at conferences and things or gatherings, because I don't want to reinstigate something I want to see demolished. You know, I could prophesy over all of you. I mean, I have a gift to do it, but God doesn't want me to do it because he wants me to help you hear God for yourself. You know, in the past, I've prayed till 3 o'clock in the morning prophesying over everybody. But now God just won't let me do it. And I don't desire to do it, you know, because it's a new way. You can all hear God. Yeah. See, Moses' generation built those ministries under the cloud of the anointing rather than equipping the people to engage God in the cloud. You know, and there's a whole difference in that. So they're covering ministries rather than foundational floors. Those foundational floors release living stones into their destiny. Covering ministries don't. So building in the wilderness rather than preparing a generation of forerunners, the forerunners of spies who cross over beyond the veil, that's what should have been prepared. You know, and those voices like Ian Clayton and others who are paving a way and opening a door and saying things that most of us don't understand, but we know something in our spirit resonates with it, are pushing the whole thing forward to say, come on, we need to follow on, we need to engage beyond the veil. You know, God wants mentors for a billionfold harvest. Well, I wonder how many there are at this point. Yeah? So we need to really start to prepare. You know, fortunately, you only have to be one step ahead to help someone take the next step. You know, you seriously do. I mean, I'm like that all the time. You know, it's like I'm trying to take a step to help people follow. You know, but in this, you know, is this phrase, God would rather have an amateur in the new than a professional in the old. And we're all amateurs in the new. It's like, I class myself as knowing a tiny bit there is to know, you know, and I'm pursuing and seeking God for more. Whenever I get more, I want to release it. But personally, I'm sort of 18 months to 2 years ahead of what I'm teaching, because I have to live what I'm teaching before I'll teach it. If I'm not living it and I'm not embracing it and it's not part of my lifestyle, then it's something I know about. And I won't teach what I know about until I'm living it. So there's so much more to come. You know, there's an exciting 2 years to come from all the stuff I've seen that I want to share with people, but I need to embrace that in my own life before I'll do it. But everyone can be a mentor, because you only have to share what you've learned and help people to learn for themselves, so that they will then have a testimony that then they can mentor others with. You know, so our desire is to just raise up people who are willing to give this stuff away to others. Now, that focus on the youth for the harvest, you know, has hijacked a generation. Now, I love young people, and I've got no issue with young people whatsoever, you know, but we're all the same. You know, we're all children of God. You know, why separate? Okay, oh, well, we need to be culturally relevant. There's nothing more culturally relevant than going and meeting God in heaven. You know? So God wants us to be a new generation. Joshua and Caleb were 80 plus. So that doesn't exclude any older people, and it doesn't exclude any younger people. Because the whole generation that went in, of men of war, were 20 to 39. And a whole load of young people who went in with them. So we need to see a generation who's going to take another into their inheritance. Because the next generation, the harvest, they're just laborers for the harvest field. You know, that's not the end of it. That's the beginning. You know, and that will be every age. You know, from the youngest to the oldest, people will get engaged in God and then start to find they have a destiny to reach out and see the world changed. So God wants to establish cities of refuge. Many people call these apostolic resource centers, habitations of God. You know, I like to call them gardens of God, because I see them as mini gardens, so that we can spread that garden out and fill the world with it. Or embassies of heaven is another favorite of mine, because I love what the symbol of an embassy is. And I'll explain that in a minute. Some are storehouses, because it illustrates the thing of Joseph. Joseph being in the prison, coming out into the world government, and then having a time of harvest in which they took 20% of the harvest and stored them. And I think this refers to the harvest, because 20% is sort of around a billion or more. And we're going to see a billion of the population, and they'll come into storehouses that are ready. And if people aren't ready, then they won't come in. So we want to be ready. Because what happens to those storehouses when they're filled? The whole world comes to them. Because they're the only people who got the answer when there's famine. So we may have a good period coming, but there will be a period after that which is going to be change. Severe change in the world systems. So we want these places to be living in an overlap of heaven on earth. So living heaven on earth. Under the higher spiritual authority and laws of heaven. Isaiah 61 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." That's what's coming. We can say this has already come when Jesus came. It is true of that, but there's more to come. "For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you." And what happens when we start to shine? Nations will come to your light. And kings to the brightness of your rising. Everyone is going to be drawn to people who live under the kingdom and they've got the answers to the world's problems. Another description of this is Isaiah 2:2. "Now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as chief of the mountains, and it will be raised above the hills." So every other governmental system that exists will be nothing compared to the mountain of the house of the Lord. And so all those mountains that people are trying to redeem, forget it. They're going to crumble. It's pointless trying to redeem something which is worldly. So all those people who are trying to be top of the media mountain and trying to be top of this mountain, and they're just being on top of a world system. You know, I think the whole point was, yes, there are mountains, but let's actually establish the mountain of the house of the Lord, because it will be above all that, and we'll administer it. And what will happen? And many people will come saying, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord." And it goes on to say that they will teach us how to walk in God's ways. Because we are called to be ambassadors of another world, another kingdom. 2 Corinthians 5:20, "We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg on you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." And that's not just referring to people. We want to see the whole world and the whole universe reconciled to God and brought back into alignment with God's purposes. Paul said, I'm an ambassador. He knew he was representing another kingdom. Yeah, sometimes it meant he was willing to go to prison to represent God and not compromise. Now, an ambassador is a diplomatic official of the highest rank, appointed and accredited as a representative in residence by one government or sovereign to another. So, an authorized messenger or representative, this is just a definition. Now, from a scriptural or biblical point, an agent, an apostolic delegate, a messenger, a ministry, or an emissary is a description of an ambassador, if you look at the Greek meaning of the word. So Colossians 1:13 says, for he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. So we're in a new kingdom. We're under new managership, ownership, government, kingship. Philippians 3:20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven. Well, we live in a citizenship of heaven, but we manifest it on the earth because we're ambassadors of that heavenly kingdom on the earth. We're citizens of a heavenly kingdom living here. That makes us ambassadors, citizens of God's kingdom, but living on the earth as gateways of heaven to bring heaven to the earth. Because an ambassador and an embassy is on foreign soil but lives under the soil of the nation who sent it. So ambassadors are the highest ranking officials of one kingdom living in another land. And they take their orders and their authority from the land they're sent, not the land they're in. So our orders and our authority comes from heaven, not the earth. And ambassadors are protected by diplomatic immunity. Now that gets very abused in the natural realm, but in the spiritual realm, that means our protection, our provision, everything comes from heaven, where we're sent from. So we live by the laws of heaven, the economy of heaven, and the political system of heaven, not the earth. Well, I don't see too many of them around. That's why God is calling us to establish them. Because they're going to be needed, because they are going to be what is raised up as the mansion of the house of the Lord. So it's like the characteristics of an ambassador. Let's say the UK has got an embassy in China, but in the US, it's in New York, our embassy. Your American embassy is in London. And it's a piece of American soil in London. You have your own military there. We have our own in here. We have our own laws. And they take direction from where they're sent. So our embassy is British soil, protected by British troops, taking orders from Whitehall, which is our governmental area. And it represents British interests and operates under British laws and culture. And yours does under American soil in the UK. That's what an embassy does. So they're continually in contact with home headquarters. You know, they don't operate on the opinions of the ambassador. He represents the government and he does not make the decisions. He just releases the decisions that are made by the government. So this is what God wants for us. What are the heavenly things that God wants to bring onto the earth? And he wants ambassadors who are going to represent heaven and bring them onto the earth. So we're tasked of more than being just representatives. And our task is not just diplomacy. Because as citizens of heaven, we carry heaven's authority. And we've each got an area of kingship that we need to rule over. Individually and from every blueprint has a sphere of authority in government. So let's give ourselves to God and be those living daily sacrifices in our priestly role so we can demonstrate God's power and authority through our kingly role to see change on the earth. So we represent one kingdom in this kingdom to change it. And we live by the laws of heaven. Now, what are those? Well, that's going to be a big difference. So every ecclesia should be an embassy, a territory in a foreign soil, and that's you. Because you are the ecclesia. You are the church of God. You are protected by heavenly authority and power. And you're not to be influenced by the earthly culture, society, customs, but be influencers of them, to change them and transform them. So we live under kingdom authority, therefore there's a new health service. Now, you don't know much about health service in the US, you know, because you've got Obamacare, I hear. I'm going to stir that one up. I see all the posts on Facebook. We have a health service. Our government provides health. We don't have to pay for it. It's free. At source. So every time, not that I've used it for the last 20 years, but you know, some people need to, and it's there free. We live under heaven's health service, which is health. And God wants to call us to live in health. And if we're not living in health, we need to start coming under the authority of heaven and not the earth. And then you can take communion, and you can not just live in health, but you can get younger. So you can live forever. Because that's what the word says. You don't need to die unless you're living under a culture that says death is inevitable. And the religious system will definitely say that. But God's kingdom says you can live forever. So there's a new economic and financial services. You don't need to live in debt. Because we have all the resources of heaven available for us to live under heaven's economy. A new education system. New society. I like to call it paradise restored. Because God wants to restore us to Adam and Eve's original condition before they fell from it. New attitudes. I mean, look at Jesus talking about the kingdom and how the kingdom was to be lived. New attitudes, ideals, culture, new behaviors, new abilities, new powers. Everything operating out of a new dimension of authority and power. So heaven transforming earth. That means the authority to speak on behalf of God. Because we represent him. Every one of us has supernatural power of heaven at our disposal. We've just never really used it properly because we've been doing it earthly rather than heavenly first. You know, what happened in a territory when, in Roman times, when they conquered a territory, they would send 300 citizens to invade that territory and set up what was called a castra pone, which is an administrative center to take dominion and then be a place of conquest so they could take the next territory. They didn't make the mistake of Napoleon and a few others of taking this big long line trying to conquer everything and having no supply lines from home. So they got cut off. They knew what to do. They came and assimilated a area and they came under Rome. Now in scientific terms that would be resistance is futile. If you know what that is, with the Borg in Star Trek. Because we will be assimilated. And the reality is, heaven is supposed to bring earth into heavenly government. Adam and Eve were given responsibility to tend and cultivate a garden, which would then subdue and fill and multiply until the whole earth was filled with the garden. We still have that same thing. So colonization is our mission. Colonies of heaven on the earth. Not earthly colonization. That's just empire building. And we've seen a lot of that. I come from a place that did a lot of that. Some of you lot in the past fought against that and set yourself free. So church, ecclesia, is a colony of heaven. Now think of what it would be just to live under the laws of heaven all the time. Well, that's what we're supposed to do. So it's time we started to get a blueprint that enabled us to do it. Romans 8:19. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. God is looking to you to be his children that then he can display to everything in the created order. For creation, and that is not just this planet, but that is the whole of the created orders, spiritual and physical, and all the dimensions that exist are in bondage. But that creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And that's just such an amazing thing. The freedom of the glory of the children of God. You know, it truly is an amazing thing. That God wants us to realize that he wants us to come into such freedom that we can bring the whole of the created order into that freedom. It's your glory that will set people free as you radiate him. Arise, shine, your light has come. Be transfigured like Jesus was to radiate glory. And it will come, I truly believe. And it's happening. Some people are starting to shine. You know, they've been caught on camera, radiating. You know, sometimes standing on the platform, which is just a forerunner experience of what is coming. Because this is the mission that we've got, Genesis 1:28. God blessed them, he empowered them to succeed, and he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it. And that is still plan A, and he wants the people who will seriously embrace it and outwork it. So we are ambassadors of heaven, sons of the kingdom, to colonize this world and make it look like heaven. Because that was God's intention always. Because heaven and earth were lived in overlap. And that's what God wants us to embrace today. So Matthew 6:10, think of it now differently, rather than the Lord's Prayer that we used to sort of parrot. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Another version, I think it might be the Message, says, reveal who you are, set the world right, do what's best, as above, so below. John 18:37 says, I am a king. This is Jesus talking. For this I have been born, and for this I've come into the world, to testify to the truth. And then it says in John 17:18, as you sent me into the world, talking to his Father, I have sent them into the world. So if he's been sent into the world as a king, what are we supposed to be sent into the world as? Kings. Those who rule and bring the government of God. Revelation 1:6, he has made us to be a kingdom of priests. A royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter 5. Revelation 5:10, we are made to be a kingdom of priests to reign. Where? On the earth. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. This really means living for and from that kingdom first. Everything above and walking by faith to see that outworked on the earth. So you have access to come up into the realm of heaven. Jacob's ladder is open to every single one of us to step into that realm and to embrace heaven so that heaven can be outworked on the earth. There is an open heaven and there's the Lord standing in the door waiting for you to come. And God's desire that you would step into that realm. But you can come before the very presence of God around the ark and see the four faces of God. And there are scrolls and mandates for every one of you every day to outwork God's purpose and to fulfill your destiny. There are doors in heaven that you can walk through the realms of heaven, going through the veils of the way and the truth and the life, and embracing the fullness of God and going to some amazing things. You have a mountain on which you rule and seven mountains underneath. That mountain is where you'll be invested in lordship and kingship and sonship, with a crown and a throne and a scepter and a mantle. And there may be a few things flying around up there you need to deal with. I'm not going to describe them, you can find out for themselves. So, you know, I know we've not done a lot of activation, but let's just step into that right now. You know, I'm not going to lead on a great big journey, but let's step in and see what God wants to do. Because God, it's open, we've opened it. Every one of you has the right to step in. And for a few minutes before we have a little break, let's just step in. So what I'd encourage you to do, if you need a image, you've just seen some. You know, God may take you anywhere on this little journey. Be open to go wherever he leads. Jesus will be your guide. So I just encourage you to close your eyes and begin to think about that open heaven. Just think right now that Jacob's ladder is leading up from this place in the spirit, and that door is standing open in the realms of heaven. Now just hear the invitation to your spirit to come up here. And by faith, just accept that invitation and come walking up those steps. You can step through the door, through the veil that is Jesus. And just meet with him. He's there in the doorway. Just embrace him. Just make a conscious decision to present yourself to him as a living sacrifice. Just to yield to wherever he would like to take you. Just breathe in the atmosphere of heaven. Feel the freedom, the glory of it. Just open your heart. Just breathe in that realm of the Spirit. Now, Jesus, I would just ask right now that you take each person by the hand and just lead them to the place you would like to show them right now, whether it be a court or the ark of your presence or through the doorways of heaven into the stars, to wisdom's heights, to your mountain, to the angelic court, wherever you want to lead, maybe to the throne of grace or the river of life or the waterfall of life. Just be really open now for Jesus just to lead you. Just open your spirit and allow him to just take you by the hand and gently lead you into a place of encounter with him. okay, let's just prepare your hearts just to come out of that place. If you want to stay there while we take a break, you can carry on in that place. Just make sure that if you have an encounter, just remember it, journal it, whatever you need to do. This is an open door, it's the first step. God desires to take you on that journey of discovery, to reveal to you who you are, and as a son, open up the realms of heaven for you, to teach you how to engage in intimacy and relationship as a source of our life, but also how to take responsibility as sons to rule in his kingdom.
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit us on our website, freedomtrust.org.uk, where you'll find a whole range of resources. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and on our Sons of Issachar blog. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and lead others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? If so, check out our Engaging God program. Join a worldwide community of pioneers. Learn how to access God in the realms of heaven and take up your responsibility as a son in his kingdom. Freedom Apostolic Resources. We're here to help you find and fulfill your destiny.